Welcome to Career Tools, the Manager Tools Work Management Spreadsheet, Part 1. Here we go. This podcast answers these questions. What the heck is the Manager Tools Work Management Spreadsheet? When would I use it? And how can I handle project management issues without going full bore into project management software?
We would normally be advertising upcoming conferences and client engagement opportunities right here. However, as we're releasing the cast during the COVID-19 crisis, we know that going to training is the last thing on your mind. On the other hand, you might be struggling managing remotely or communicating with your peers now you're not in the office. We can help you get trained without leaving home. Manager Tools offers all three of our trainings, Effective Manager, Effective Communicator, and Effective Hiring Manager, on video. It's short, 5 to 10 minute bites, perfect for learning at home. Go to managertools.com and look for products.
Folks, it's very rare that we break the rule at Manager Tools and Career Tools. We have an unofficial rule that we provide guidance based on things we've tested in the field and things that have worked. And as I like to tell people, when I describe my experience as a manager, as a professional using our tools, I like to tell people, we don't teach what I do, because there's a lot of people with a lot of opinions about management, and you know how it goes with opinions. They all smell in their own way. And so what I say is, we don't teach what I do. I just do what we teach. In other words, we've learned over the last 30 years of paying attention to managers and professionals what's effective and what's not, and we share those tools, and then you'll often hear about us using them. But in this case, we invented the tool that we want to share with you, and it has become an inextricable part about how we manage at Manager Tools. And we realized that in the next couple of years, we're probably going to turn it into a fully functional relational database with a lot of custom code. And so Wendy and I agreed that we needed to share this tool that we have created with everyone. Now, I can't say we have data from a third party. I can say we've used it tens of thousands of times, and it is brilliantly elegant and simple. I guess simple is implied and elegant, and incredibly effective. And particularly those of you who don't like the enormous rigor involved and the bloat of project management software, and I say that as a big fan of Microsoft Project, but also struggle to keep track of all the stuff you have to do that maybe isn't called a project by your company, but still feels like a project to you when you think in layman's terms, the way I do, that a project is just a series of tasks related to an overarching goal. That's a great deal of our work every day, and yet we all don't need a seat license to Microsoft Project. And look, I mentioned Microsoft Project. Again, I love this stuff. There's a million versions of other project management software. But the fact is, some of it gets in the way. I've said before that as much as I bow to the genius of the project management community, I am frustrated by, as I often am about many things professionally, I am frustrated by the sense that the project management community is more interested in tools and noodling on the tools than the way we would approach it, which is who does what by when. And if you don't know what who does what by when is, that is Horstman's Law of Project Management, and there's an entire podcast about just that thing. Those are the three things that make up the three-legged stool of a stable project. And if you manage those things well, everything else will turn out okay. So we internally created the Manager Tools Work Management Spreadsheet. And just for the record, Wendy and I call this cast the Cypress Cast. And the reason for that is because certain spreadsheets regarding work product, work processes that we engage in here at Manager Tools are named after famous golf courses. I wonder where that idea came from. And it just so happens that I live about 1.5 miles from the 16th hole at Cypress Point Club in Pebble Beach, California, which is arguably one of the greatest golf holes, if not the greatest golf hole in the world. And so this particular our first generation of the work management spreadsheet that we're going to share with you in our version. It's called Cypress, and this will always be called the Cypress Cast for me. Okay, I talk too much, as always. Wendy, why don't you take us at a high level through the outline?
So it's long, because these are going to be too long, Gus, because it takes a long time to explain all of how this works.
Yeah, we have to explain it all, but you're also going to give them Excel formats, formulas, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, think about that for a minute, guys. We got to get through this, and we have to say it clearly and precisely enough and have you be able to figure it out so that you can understand the formulas that we're going to share.
So we're going to talk about the idea of what it is, and then when to use it. So the kind of projects you can use it on, and we're going to give you a bunch of examples. Then we're going to talk about our example. We're going to talk about Cypress and how we use it. And then we are going to get into how do you create the thing for yourself. And we're going to talk about doing one project to start with and just how to create it. And then we'll talk about iterating on it and how to use it for multiple projects.
All right. So at a high level, and this is, I'm sure I'm shooting myself in the foot here because I'm sure I'm going to interject 1,000 times during this cast because I happen to think Cypress is a beautiful thing. I open it up every morning and I look and I immediately get a sense of what's happening operationally in the company. It's like a CEO dashboard, admittedly. I mean, Wendy, estimate for me in a year, if you add public conferences and client conferences together, how many tasks does Cypress comprise?
4,000.
No. Is that all?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, well, hold on. I just did that in my head math. And we know that I'm not good at math.
No, wait. Wait. Every single public conference, there's 40 of those. Mm-hmm. How many tasks are there associated with public conferences?
Just 80? About 100, yeah.
100. So that's 4,000 for public conferences.
Oh, see?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, I'm okay. An order of then, magnitude out.
Yeah. Well, no, I don't even think you know what order of magnitude is either, apparently. So how many client gigs do we do? 80 a year? Let's say 80? Yeah. But there aren't as many tasks for client.
No, there's more for clients.
There's more.
There's like 120.
120 times 80. 8 times 12 is 96. That's 1,000, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, let's see. No, that's 10,000.
10,000, right?
Yeah, so you were off by a factor of 3. You said 4,000, and it's actually closer to 15,000 tasks. 15,000 tasks. That's a lot over the course of a year. To say nothing of other separate projects that we have that don't fit into these standard procedures.
Right. And it's so many people as well. There's only 10 of us appropriately. All 10 of us have a task.
All 10 of us have a task in any one of the versions of Cypress.
Yeah. Exactly. So it's complicated.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry. So go. I interrupted. There you go. But keep going.
So basically the idea, if you were going to put it in a sentence or two, the work management spreadsheet is a spreadsheet that captures all of the deliverables in a work process and notifies owners proactively about deadlines or deliverable status.
Yeah, that's the beautiful thing for me. I open up Cypress, and for every single public conference or client conference, different tabs that are current, I see every single task with a date in the Excel cell sheet. Actually, it's Google Sheet, right? And it shows me a date, and it's either white, meaning it hasn't happened yet, or it's green, meaning it's been done, or it's orange, meaning it's about to come due, or it's red, meaning it's that deadline is passed, and it hasn't been done. I mean, it's what Mike and I talked about years ago in terms of digital tools for managers. It defies description. I mean, we have 30 pages of notes here that we have to get through, but there we go. I'll stop rambling. Okay, so give us some history.
So a long time ago, it feels like a long time ago. I don't know how long ago, 5 years ago?
5 years,
We started with a spreadsheet for tracking our training events, both the public conferences and the client deliveries that we do. So for people who don't know, there are public deliveries of all of our training in hotels, and you can just buy a ticket and go. Or we go to client sites where a client says, we've got 30 managers, please come to us and deliver. It's the same training, it's just a different form.
Yeah, there is. It is brutally ironic that we're recording this during the Wuhan flu, COVID, coronavirus issue, and nobody's going anywhere right now. But be that as it may. Okay, yeah. Keep going.
And so each training day is one of our three trainings. So we have Effective Manager Conference, Effective Communicator Conference, and Effective Hiring Manager Conference. And they can be combined in any order to give up to 5 days of consecutive training. So a client might say, I'll have two EMCs, an ECC, and two HMCs, and we'll do 5 days of training. So there's the complication of the fact that there's three different ones, and then the complication of they can be in any order.
In any order, yeah.
And so to make the events successful, we have a task, like we just said, of I think just coming up for 100 for public and over 100 for client deliveries, all of the tasks that we need to do in order to make sure that that delivery is successful. And it covers, like I said, the whole team. Mark, Kate, Sarah are presenters, Maggie, who does sales, Alex and Cassie, who do logistics, Tracy keeps finances straight, and Paul covers IT needs. And I think I'm the only person who doesn't actually have a named task, but I also am responsible for making the spreadsheet work.
Wait, no. You have task, don't you have? You don't have any deliverables?
Not anymore.
Yes, but you're my one neck to choke when it comes to Cypress, right?
I mean, yeah. If it's not working properly, that's me. Yeah. So,
to be fair, though, guys, when we built the spreadsheet, Wendy didn't have any tasks. But then during a period of recent transition, because we were moving responsibilities around based on professional growth, Wendy ran the whole thing and did actions. You had two-thirds of the tasks, deliverables, right?
Yeah, I know. And so to give people an idea of what those tasks might be, there's shipping, there's travel, there's document preparation, there's registering attendees, there's communicating with clients, there's billing people, there's, you know, all sorts of things, communicating with hotels. And it's really important that we know who's doing what and when and whether it's done and what the outcome was. For example, presenters are always very keen to make sure that they get a hotel room the night before a public delivery. We are. And so there
picky,
is
picky
there,
beasts
yeah, picky
that we
people.
Are.
So there is a task that says make sure the presenter has a hotel room and enter the confirmation number. Yeah. So
what I found interesting about this was there was mixed emotions at the beginning, and now everybody's completely on board because you can open up and look. But it would have been easy for each of us to say, okay, Mark has seven tasks for that conference. You know, Kate has five for this one. Wendy has four for this one or whatever. And by the way, per conference, those tasks don't change. Or in other words, the owners don't change. And we could all keep track of our own. And I would be thinking about every single conference, every single trip, and every single deliverable for each one. But then the knowledge of the status of those tasks would be scattered across the entire organization and essentially would require active reporting on a regular basis for anyone else to know the global status. And it doesn't really matter whether three out of the five are perfect or even four out of the five. If one person hasn't done one thing, this is a significant risk to the event occurring. So even if you can, even if you're thinking about a project where there are five people involved in the project and it's 100 steps, 100 tasks, 100 deliverables, even if you think all five of those people know what they're supposed to be doing and they can keep all their stuff in their head, if you have more than one of those, and if that's not the only thing you're doing, having all those people keep track individually of their status because you trust them is great, but there's a difference between everybody else knowing their status and you knowing everybody else's status if you're the manager, and in addition, then being able to make decisions about what to do.
Right. And there's all sorts of benefits to it being communicated, or at least it being available to everybody at any point. For instance, if I go on there, I can see, you know, if Cassie's got a whole bunch of red, then, and I was doing her job a little while ago, I can call her and say, hey, I know how to do those things. Do you want me to help you out? So we can look at work, as peers and say, hey, do you need some help? We can offer to help each other. We can also see when someone's doing really well and say, hey, take some of my work.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, different from the manager being able to look at everything. It's useful for the team members to be able to look at everything. So we'll describe it a little bit more. So if you imagine opening a spreadsheet down the side, so in column.
Hey, Wendy, before we do this, let's do something different. Before we delve into the idea, which I find hard to translate, I want to try a little bit different approach here. I want to describe Cypress in a little bit more depth at a high level, if that makes sense, before we get into the spreadsheety part of it.
Okay? Yeah.
And so I want to say this, guys. I'm going to say it again. We use Cypress for every single presentation we give. So I'm looking at Cypress, for instance, for clients in 2018. This is actually our 2019 tab. And we have EA Sports and Emetitech and Immunalysis, Colonial Pipeline, Premier Truck, the TPG, Sapient, CMI Metals, Analog Bits, Tessitura, USMC, whatever. We've got a list of clients across the top. And then down the left, we have a standing set, since this is a client thing, of 100, roughly 125 different tasks that have to be done, or almost always have to be done, for each one of those clients. Now, there are some clients, some client presentations, which are different, and you can write NA in a particular task, or just mark it as done because it's moot. For instance, if I were presenting in Monterey, California, I wouldn't need airline tickets, and everyone would know that, and it would be marked as NA. But imagine a column for my trip to London to work with Sapient, a longtime client of ours, who the client manager of whom is Anda Panopoulos. Ananda, hello. And there are a series of tasks listed vertically in column C. Things like, okay, Maggie has a task to alert me that a client has asked for me. Then she has to add dates to our calendars so everybody knows that's going to be coming up. She has to send an email to certain people that says, this has been sold, these dates have been sold. She has to send a client confirmation out. Hey, this is confirmed, this date, we're going to be doing these things, which is sort of a double check on the agreement to move forward on the business. There's a step to send an electronic version of the PowerPoint deck that we're going to present to, so the client can have a chance to see it if, in fact, they have problem. Sometimes the person Maggie is talking to is not familiar with the details of what presenting. Now, that's a series of steps right at the beginning. But then we've got to book flights and book hotel. We've got to record the shipping address in a thing we call the logs block, which allows the presenter on the road in their calendar to find things like an address and a phone number and a contact person whom you might have to be meeting at 6 o'clock in the morning in the rain after getting out of an Uber with your suitcase. You may have to, every single time Maggie on a client gig has to get approval for the agenda that the client has asked for from the presenter. For instance, we don't like starting presenting days on the half hour. We normally start at 8. We can start at 9. Every once in a while, our good friends at Apple can't start until 10 in the morning. I'm going to get killed for that statement, by the way. But starting at 9 is easy. We prefer 8 because we go until 3:30, but we could start at 9 and go till 4:30. The problem starting with 8:30 is when you make a brief look at the analog clock while you're presenting, you can't tell how much time you have left. We have to set up a call between the client sponsor and the presenter so they can touch base on details. There may be special security requirements that occur. In many cases, the answer to that one is not applicable. We have to confirm the presenter arrival time and update certain administrative notes we have in our shared Google calendars. We need to send detailed agendas to the sponsor, and different people have to take care of each of these steps. All the way through the presenter doing a hot wash on their day and posting it into our Dropbox account. I mean, there's 125, actually more than that, now that I look at Cypress in detail. The point being, if you're going to do something repeatedly, and that's one of the great uses of Cypress, and there are a lot of tasks, you can see them all. I'm looking at my iMac screen right now. Now, I have old eyes, but I have a tab open to Google Docs, and I have Cypress showing at the top in the tab, and then I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, about 20 client gigs. These happen to be old ones, not current ones. I'm looking at client gigs in early 2019. And I can see below the header data on top, I can see roughly 30 tasks. And if I scroll to the right, I'm moving forward in time toward conferences that occurred later in 2019. And if I scroll down, I'm seeing more of the tasks that are assigned to the client presentations that occurred at that time. So I gave a keynote speech in January 22 of 2019 to our good friends at Premier Truck in, I'm pretty sure that was Miami. Scott Moss is our longtime client there. And I can see the first 30 or so tasks. And right next to that, I can see Colonial Pipeline as well. And I presented that one too, interestingly enough. And I think I did that one up in the Northeast before I flew down to Miami. And I can see every single task that was due for the first 30 or so tasks.
And the nice part about it is the intersection of those client columns that you're describing and the individual tasks is a cell, obviously, on a spreadsheet. And that cell has the due date of the task in it and a color. So you can open, as Mark's describing, you can have 30 clients in the first 30 tasks. And if you scroll down, you can have the second set of 30 tasks. And you get this kind of, this color, it can be all green, or it can be green with some red ones where we're late on something. It can be orange because there's things coming up. It can be white because those tasks aren't due. And you get this amazing snapshot of just how everybody's doing and whether we're keeping up with the work that we have.
Yeah, and this also addresses, I'm sure we'll talk more about it, the issue of being read and what it means to be read and how so many people are afraid of being read. And so that causes people to resist providing status on their work. And that then keeps managers and other people responsible for knowing what they need to do, which is incredibly selfish for individuals to be afraid of being read, when in fact, all read is an indicator of resources or attention needed. But I can look, you're right. I'm in Cypress 4 or 5 times a day. And all I have to do is scroll with my finger in any direction. And I know what I need to know and who I need to call and what I need to do. Oh, and I'll go a step further. We also have gotten pretty clever with this. Not only do we have a client tab and then a public conference tab for every one of the years, but then we also have for both public and client conference a separate tab that only shows us red tasks. So it gets rid of any task that's green or yellow and only shows you red. It also has based per owner of a task. If your name is listed as any one of the owners on any of these tasks, there is a tab for you that's Tracy PC20, Sarah PC20, that's public conferences in the year 2020. And if I click on Sarah PC20, I see every single conference that Sarah is presenting in 2020. And I see the status of all of the tasks, red or green.
It's wonderful. Oh, and I should mention, the reason we use Google Sheets is because it takes care of versioning and what happens if multiple people are editing at the same time. It takes care of that for us. So it doesn't need to be Google Sheets. And the other nice thing is we had someone write some code for us to create all of those other sheets, and it sends us emails and all sorts of things. That was why we chose Google Sheets. It doesn't actually have to be Google Sheets if you have a way of sharing Excel or another spreadsheet.
Yeah, exactly. Particularly if you're all in the same location. Mm-hmm. And versioning has, you know, 15 years ago, versioning was sort of really great to have. Now it's assumed that you should be able to have it. And, you know, simultaneous editing and so on, it's that's pretty cool.
When we first developed it, though, it didn't have 120 tasks and 50 tabs or any of that fancy stuff. It started as just a list of things that we could think of that we needed to do and a couple of clients. That's all it was. So we don't want to make people think that they have to have the Ferrari. It's okay. You can start with a bike and training wheels.
A lot of people who start thinking about projects and tend to start assigning tasks, or what we would call deliverables, associated with them tend to be high C's in the DISC model. And so you tend to be perfectionist and you think you don't want to do it until you have a perfect list. Believe me, our list wasn't perfect. It's still not perfect. It's constantly evolving. You can't make the perfect the enemy of the good here. You really can't.
Are you thinking about what you're going to do to catch up when you're back in the office? Wondering what you could do now to make it easier? If you haven't read The Effective Manager or The Effective Hiring Manager, Mark's books about being great managers, now would be a tremendous time to do so. Read now, implement when you're back, promotion by Christmas. Promotions are not guaranteed. Effectiveness is. Go to managertools.com, look for products, and you can find out all of the ways that you can access these books.
Okay, so if I can, Wendy, I want to turn it back over to you, and I want you to pick up where you left off about getting... You talked about opening the spreadsheet, and I just wanted to tell them what the spreadsheet looked like within context of the work it was doing. I know you're now going to talk about how it looks as a spreadsheet.
Mm. So as a spreadsheet, it's the list of engagements or deliveries, which is what we call a conference event, across the top, so from right to left, and then down the side from top to bottom is the list of tasks, with the first task that needs doing at the top and the last task that needs doing at the bottom. And in every cell, as I said, there's a combination of two things, that delivery and that task. And in that cell is a deadline that's calculated for us. We have some math for that, which we're going to share with people. And then the cell is red, amber, or green, depending on when that due date is.
Or white.
Or white, yeah, depending on when the due date is and whether or not it's completed. And we have a system where when something is completed, we write in the cell done and the date it was completed, and that turns that cell green.
The code in the doc, when you type in done, changes the cell's color to green.
Yeah. And so we can open it and get a really good overview. If it's mostly green, we're good. If it's green with some reds, things are going wrong. And if it's all red and amber, we're probably off the rails.
Yeah. And we need an all hands on deck. Mm-hmm. Hey, we need some help here, because we're in business to support other people's professional development. And if we're not doing the things we need to do that they wouldn't know we need to do behind the scenes, that's going to affect our ability to provide quality service to our customers. We can't have that.
And that single view is the one thing that we love, that we would never give up, and we have never been able to replicate. So
yeah, in fact, we've been trying for the last year to do New Cypress, which addresses a relational database. This shouldn't be that hard, and no one says they can do it. So if you know of somebody who thinks they can do it, we'd love to see a proof of concept, or at least have a conversation with them.
Sure. So essentially, we use this to track tasks in repeating projects. In other words, one public delivery has the same tasks as the next public delivery.
But to be fair, you don't need to use it for that. That to us is the multiplier effect, that we get to use this four or five times a day for hundreds of events a year, okay? But you could use this technology with just one project. If you've got a project that has five tasks, you can probably keep them in your head. When that project gets to be 100 tasks, you better have them written down, and you better have a rough idea of what order they're in, even if you don't know the exact date any one thing is due. We're not doing resource planning. We're not doing dependencies and all that kind of stuff. We don't need that. I think those are fantastic tools and concepts and calculations for more complex billion-dollar projects. But for a 100-task project, that includes you or maybe three or four other people, particularly good for three or four other people, to provide you a single place to see how things are going. This is absolutely perfect. It's certainly better than sending an email at the end of each day telling everybody what you did and didn't do.
I hate that.
Okay, so give them some context around who would it work best for?
So we think it would work best for a team of less than 10 people, probably.
I actually think 20 would be fine. I believe it could be 20, although our data is with 10.
Projects that take between 1 and 12 months. If you're doing a, you know, two-year bridge building, you need something else. You need something bigger. Yeah,
probably
bigger.
Because we've got resources and dependencies and stupidly long tasks, but that's another story. Yeah. So yeah, I agree with that.
Projects that don't have a significant budget, because Cypress doesn't take account of budget. We do that differently because we can. But if you know, if you're counting this task cost us this much against the budget, that you're not, this is too much. So where project management is overkill. So if Microsoft Office, Microsoft Project, or one of the other project management things seems like it's too heavy, then Cypress will probably work. And then the last one is projects that have different tasks or different targets or goals, but same or similar tasks. Then you can use it for multiple projects. But we'll start with just one.
Yeah, good.
So things like projects that require paperwork tracking, planning events, simple production or quality projects, they would all fit in here.
Yeah, good. Okay, so let's talk a little bit. We've thrown it under the bus a little bit, and I don't want to spend too long on it, but why we don't use more robust project management software, even though we could certainly afford it. Many of us are quite familiar with it. Why not?
The first one is it has way more than we need in the wrong places. So a lot of those systems are really complicated, things like dependencies and Gantt charts and all sorts of things, which
look great in images, by the way.
Look beautiful, and then you have to put all the data in. So it's a huge overhead in terms of cost, but also in terms of a learning curve for everybody. Everybody understands a spreadsheet, so it's nice and easy. And like we said, we have never found a project management software that gives us the one page view of all the statuses across all of the projects that Cypress does. We just love that ability to see everything all at once and not have to go between separate projects or different reports or whatever to find out what we need to know.
Yeah, but spreadsheets are good in other ways though, right? I mean, it's not just that we're against the bloat or the size or scope or unnecessary features and benefits of project management software.
So one of the good things about spreadsheets is they don't just work with numbers. They'll work with data too. And you can use formulas on that data, on words and other things, numbers which have special meaning. A spreadsheet is basically a super simple database. And you can do mathematical calculations on it, or you can use it as a database to store information. Basic conditional formatting, so formatting that is formatting colors or fonts which are based on what's in a cell or what's in another cell, is super easy. If I can do it, everybody can do it. So you can build a red, amber, green system to prioritize the tasks in about 3 minutes.
And then you can copy and paste that formatting over to different cells, like super easy. So when we add a new client, as we're the bleeding edge of this thing, as always, we're always adding new client gigs. Actually, always not being correct, since right now in the middle of coronavirus, no, we're not. But yeah, you can create a new column for a new engagement, a new presentation with a client in 2 minutes.
And it's just a copy and paste. And then if you use Google Sheets like we do, you can write code against it. You can send emails from it. You can do all sorts of things. So you get an active management of the projects.
Another thing I like is the more you get into project management software, the more there are questions and there's assumptions regarding parents and children and dependencies and resources. And every single task They want to make it full featured, but you end up having to do so much with each task. You can't just change a task.
No.
If we decide to change the name of a person doing something, if we're going to move a task from Cassie to Wendy for a period of time, it happens in 30 seconds. You change one name on the spreadsheet and all of a sudden everything else changes. And that's not our genius. That's the spreadsheet, it's right?
Right. And if you were using a project management system and you were using a template project, you can change the template, but that won't change all of the projects that you've got in process.
Yeah.
Whereas we can change the tasks. We can add a task or take one away or change the timing of it. And all of the projects which are currently in process, which for us is a lot, get that change immediately. We don't have to wait till the end of the project.
And I think a lot of times with spreadsheets, people assume it's just numbers. You made the point that it includes words. You can actually do formatting formulas based on what word is written in there. But you can even get pretty complex. I remember you told me a couple months ago, we have tasks which are due at the end of the first week after the first quarter after an event. And you can write that formula into that thing, hey, reach out to the client to follow up on something. And when you create that new folder, that new column with that client engagement in there, that date shows up as being the first, end of the first week after the first quarter. And people just don't understand. I mean, if you haven't really worked with spreadsheets a long time, if you haven't mastered them, you may not know that. But don't not choose a spreadsheet because you think it's just numbers.
We've already proved that I can't math. I also can't formula. And most of the stuff I Google, I want to do this. And there's somebody either who's done it or it's close enough that you can work out how to change it.
Yes.
And the other thing about it is, as we talked a bit about Cassie, who started with us in October, I think,
yeah.
And the majority of the tasks are hers. And it is really easy. It was really easy to teach her the new process and teach her how to use Cypress. The process is literally the list of tasks.
Yes. It's interesting. We don't teach her the process. We just showed her the tasks.
Mm-hmm.
And then she actually, on her first day, is doing stuff and delivering things. There's no training. There's certainly learning. It's a very fast learning curve. And then, after she's been doing them for a few weeks, she realizes there are things, because she's approaching them freshly, she's like, oh, these tasks are in the wrong order. There's a better way to do this. But we might not know that if we're not the one actioning the task.
Yeah. Our first day of training literally was open Cypress, look for the first task. You know,
exactly.
It's really easy. And the best thing about it is, or one of the best things is, if she forgets the next task, it doesn't matter because it's on the spreadsheet. It's always there to help you. You know, and there's stuff about project management. You know, project management software can often hold documents which are associated with a task, and a spreadsheet can't. And there's a limit to the amount of complexity of the tasks. If you've got a lot of conditional tasks or a lot of dependencies or sub-projects, you probably need project management software. But it's really surprising how complicated the process can be on a spreadsheet and how little of the complexity you need.
The example you use in the show notes is, it would be handy to be able to include our FedEx tracking image on the task, not just the number, but the image of the tracking thing. Trust us on that. We do a lot of FedExing every year. FedEx is our friend. And we have to keep those in Dropbox rather than having them attached or associated with the spreadsheet. Many of you will write us and say, you know, if you use this, you could do that. Yes, you're right. That's project management software, and it's meant to be more robust. And we've discovered that we're okay with it being in Dropbox, particularly since Dropbox allows us to keep certain folders synced even offline. So on your phone, if you're in an area in a client way out in the middle of Iowa at, you know, 5 a.m. getting ready to go to the site and you have no cell service, or you're in a special building that's shielded or something, you can still get to the things you need. And so often, project management software, you can't do that easily.
Yeah. And hotel conference rooms, for some reason, have terrible reception.
Yeah, because they don't have windows, because they're in the core of the building, which has all kinds of metal in it. Anyway, So where are we?
We'll talk about when to use it. So this is why we prefer a spreadsheet, but here's some more times when you would use this rather than some other solution. So anytime you're working on multiple projects with lots of deliverables, and the project deliverables are mostly the same each time. Again, you wouldn't start here. You'd start with one project. But if you do multiple projects and the tasks are mostly the same each time, then this would be useful to you. And it's really useful if multiple people are working on the project, but it's really useful for individual contributors too.
It's still useful for individuals. Yeah.
I've always had a version of Cypress, every job I've ever had.
Yeah.
You could use it for one project where you have like 100 tasks.
And yeah, I've mentioned that, yeah.
Yeah, it's too much for your personal productivity system. You know, you don't want it mixed in with all those things. It's a nice way to separate it and just keep track. Another way you could use it is if you have a project or a process that falls under the Horseman Christmas rule. And since you're here, you can tell them what it is.
Yeah, things that you don't do very often, but they're important. Every year at Christmas, many people who celebrate Christmas or the end of year holidays in much of the world, they tell me that they love Christmas. They love that time of year. And yet when it's over on Boxing Day, they're wiped out tired. And the reason for that is because anything that's important to you that you also do rarely, you're not going to get better at it. You need repetition and frequent repetition, closely spaced repetition in order to truly learn at a high level. So we're always sort of caught unawares by Christmas. We know it's coming, but then we end up going to parties and we end up getting tired and we eat the wrong food. And then we have sort of a Christmas hangover between Christmas and New Year's. And then we do it to ourselves again. And it's been my experience that when it comes to hiring, managers who do it maybe once a year or once every 2 or 3 years are horrible at it because it's been 2 or 3 years. Communicating about layoffs, the same thing. People are horrible at it. Right after hiring, you have to onboard people. Same thing. I've forgotten about onboarding and we're reinventing the wheel all the time. Anything you think you're reinventing the wheel on, and by that I don't mean creating a new set of tasks for a project, but I just did something just like this 6 months ago. You need to start capturing those things so you don't have to reinvent the wheel.
You should brain power for something else. So the nice thing about the spreadsheet is you have the documentation of the project steps because you have the list of tasks, but you also have the tracking of what's being done by whom and what the outcome is or what the list is. And so you can just gradually move to best practice, which
yes,
people used to say a lot when I worked in corporate America. Or corporate
England, yeah, it's a nice term, but it's meaning, it always was kind of meaningless. It just was sort of, I think it was intra-corporate marketing, right? Yeah. And right before best practices, I think we had benchmarking. Let's go to other companies and find out how they do it.
Yeah. And a lot of people always, when we talk about RAG, people say, what's that? Or we talk about red, amber, green, they say, what's that? It's a way of reporting projects and due dates. So if it's red, it's overdue. If it's amber, it's a problem.
About to be due? About to be due.
About to be due. And then green is all good.
Yeah, green is done.
Green is done for us, but more generally, green is good, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And so if you have never used a red, amber, green, or you're trying to teach your directs about red, amber, green, it's another good way for them to learn that.
Yeah. And the beauty of it is because of the color, you know, most people think of spreadsheets as having numbers in them, but the color, I open up a spreadsheet and I was talking about it earlier, how many I could see. I think I said I could see 20 different client engagements and I could see 30 different. So I could see 600 tasks that were current for the 10 people in our company. And I could tell whether they're green, amber, red. I immediately know where to go to look.
Yeah. Where's my problem spot?
I don't have to read 6 different reports from 6 different people. I don't have to go to 6 different Dropbox folders. I don't have to go through all my emails finding anybody who mentioned, you know, Premier Truck Group. It's all right there. Now, to be clear, some of you maybe have figured this out. But wait, Mark, in order for Maggie to note that that task was done, she not only has to do the task, she has to send the email to the client confirming everything, but she also then has to go into the spreadsheet and update it. And they say it with a tone of, you're making more work. And my answer is, you're damn right I am. Because we've been talking about this for years. This is professionalism, work productivity, organizational life 101, and people still persist to believe things that are not true, and you're wrong. The idea that Maggie is doing more work because she has to update her status is ludicrous. When she sends that email, her work is not done. One of the fundamental principles of humankind, I'm not talking about successful corporations, I'm talking about humankind in general, is that large organizations massively magnify our ability to accomplish things. Sociologists say large organizations are the greatest concept, the greatest achievement of mankind, okay? And one of the rules that you end up falling into when you conduct, when you start to create large organizations, people start behaving in certain ways. And what ends up happening is culture, a learned response to certain situations, that's what culture is, a learned response to different situations, you begin, if you are in fact a goal-oriented organization, which institution, which most are, public or private, governmental or academic, doesn't matter, they still have goals. You learn that there are more efficient and effective ways to engage in certain behaviors, and so your culture evolves over time. And one of the fundamental principles of organizations that require work, that are not just social clubs to get together, is that work has to not only be done, but the status of that work being done or not has to be communicated to other people, because no single task on its own quantifies or qualifies what the organization does. And so therefore, since my work doesn't stand alone, it has to be put together with other people's work to get done. And they may not know to do their work without knowing whether mine's been done or not. I am obligated not just to do my work, but to report on my work. That's why we have a habit of talking about not tasks, which are send an email, but deliverables, which is report the email as having been sent. And this is, it's so important that people want to complain, oh, that's a status thing. And as I've said it many, many times, and my software development friends chide me for it all the time. It's like the manager who has the software developer who the manager says, hey, listen, you didn't comment your code. You didn't comment your code. That'll make it harder for us to debug this thing later. And that the developer says, well, what do you want me to do? You want me to write code or you want me to comment?
Right.
And the answer is yes.
And the other nice thing about using a spreadsheet rather than project management is I use Chrome, so I don't know how it works for everybody else, but I have a bookmark. I'm already logged in. I click the bookmark. I'm in Cypress on the right tab. There's no logging into the project management software, finding the project, you know, finding the task, doing whatever it requires of me. It's click on a bookmark right in the cell.
There you go.
So the overhead to actually reporting what you've done is way lower.
Yeah, good. All right, let's keep going, though. Let's talk about some examples. You mentioned onboarding. I alluded to it earlier.
Yeah, so there's onboarding for new hires, which you talked about a little bit, but there's also onboarding for customers. So if you work in a sales organization, you have a process for giving the customer the service that you promised them. And it might not be formalized and it might not be tracked, but a spreadsheet would give you both. And that means that your customers are onboarded the same way every time. And if you find something like, oh, every third one asks me the same question, you can put answering that question ahead of time into your process. Maybe you want to track things like them being entered onto the system or being given an account rep and which one it was or a payment being received. All of those things you could track on a spreadsheet. And you could track a bunch of them at the same time, but start with one.
Yeah. You mentioned due diligence.
So due diligence, for people that don't know, is kind of the work that you do before making a big purchase. So for most of us...
Or selling something as well.
Yeah, true. Yeah. For most of us, it's like buying a house. There's a whole bunch of things that we go through, an inspection, and the inspection has to find the same findings as whatever the seller has said. And companies do that before they make big purchases too, especially when they're purchasing another company, but also when they're making big purchases. And so maybe you would need, you could use this kind of spreadsheet for these are all the things that we're going to check before we make a purchase.
Good. Equipment setup.
So let's say you work in a company of 30 people and all of them are going to get a new laptop. And somewhere you need to track the particulars of the laptop and who they went to. And maybe different members of staff need different software and you'll want to track that request and that you did it. And maybe they need instruction or passwords and you want to track all of that stuff.
Right.
And I'm sure all the people listening who do this for a living can now think of 120 things that happens before someone gets a laptop. And if you had to do it for two people, it would be useful to be able to track it.
Yeah, it would be useful for two. One, you might be able to keep it in your head, but two, no way. And 30, right? And what's worse is when you most need to not to be machine-like in your efficiency when you have 30, you have already set yourself up for failure when you have onboarded or you have set up a couple of people relative to equipment over the years, and you've always sort of done it by the seat of your pants. So there's no actual list. There's been no learning that's going on. And now when you're supposed to be able to do it for 30 people, and you've done it twice before in the last year, you stink at it. And unfortunately, it's our own fault.
Yeah. If you do something twice, you should make it easier. I read somewhere. So if you do something twice, you should write your process down. You could even use it for meetings. So if you had a repeating meeting or a meeting that always had the same agenda, you could have the agenda items as your tasks and just fill in what happened on each one.
Yeah.
You know, and then things like maintenance and cleaning, that, you know, the things my house keeps telling me I need to go change the air filter, which happens every 6 months. And of course, yeah, I'm not going to remember that.
And you don't want to put that on your calendar necessarily. No. Yeah.
Yeah, because it's not big enough. And yeah.
And so something like that, where you had maybe 50 things you have to do over the course of the year, where the periodicity is different. You've got weekly, quarterly, biweekly, you've got monthly, you've got on every third Tuesday, all kinds of, or Saturday mornings, you've got to listen to a 5-minute safety spiel from your company, whatever. All that stuff could be in the spreadsheet, and you check the spreadsheet once a week to see if you've got something that's due in the next 5 days.
Just outsource your brain.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a pin sieve. You just take all that stuff out of your brain and put it in the spreadsheet. And by the way, if you're keeping it all in your head and then two of those things' frequencies change, you're totally messed mm-hmm. up. You're not going to be able to do it. In fact, most people discover that things that happen in unusual periodicity or frequency, if they're afrequent, if you will, or aperiodical, you end up waiting for other people to do it and say, oh, yeah, it's time to do that. But if you've got a spreadsheet, all you have to do is change the frequency, change the date, and the deadline for every iteration of that changes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, can you imagine if somebody said, when does your driving license and your passport run out? You immediately don't know which is which and, you know, when you need to do them.
Yeah, that's funny. It's funny you mention that because I know when my passport expires. I don't know about my driver license. Heck, I don't even drive anymore, but yeah. Okay. That's good.
So the spreadsheet is helpful where there's a team of people working, but it's also useful for individual contributors. So like I said, I've always had one. Every job I've ever had, I've had one, especially when I was recruiting, because recruiting is a load of tasks, one after the other, like interview people, send the results, make sure that they get an offer, blah, blah, blah.
Chase the person down. Somebody else did the interview. And so you've got to decide whether or not it's a yes or no. You don't know if it's yes or no. So you got to ping the manager. You got to ping him again. You got to ping him again.
Yeah. Get HR to approve the salary, yeah, all that stuff. And most managers struggle when it's one, which is why recruiters have to keep pinging people. But if you've got more than one, you can't keep it in your head.
Yeah, here's the problem. People think they can keep it in your head. And folks, technically, you're right. But it's a stupid use of your head. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't be spending brain cells keeping that list active in the beautiful soup that is your brain. You take that stuff, which doesn't add value, you thinking what's next. Every moment you think what's next, what are I going to do next, is wasted brain power. Your brain power should be on being creative, improving the quality of the next step, making it faster, making it cheaper, making it better for your customers, not thinking just what's next.
And the other thing about it, of course, there were corporate systems for tracking all that stuff, but it wasn't giving me the details that I needed. And I can make my spreadsheet perfect for me. Yeah.
Okay, so I already talked about Cypress. Do we want to now start getting into the actual technical stuff?
Well, we've been talking for an hour, so why don't we stop now?
Okay.
And the next class, we'll start with exactly how to do it.
Okay, folks, so that's the end of part one. Thank you, Wendy. This has been, I really enjoyed this much more than I thought it would. And we will be back next week with part two, where we tell you exactly how to do this, in including Excel formula language, which I find fascinating. So see you next week. Thanks, Wendy.